Hello, and welcome to the greatest podcast in the known and unknown world.
This is Ellie.
This is Jim.
And we're here to talk about...
Welcome to Hallmark's The Spot.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Hallmark's The Spot. And we're here to talk about four Hallmark movies that they aired in January. Or Lovuary.
Lovuary.
You Lovuary.
Forgot. They're really trying to chase me away with this. These stupid titles. We haven't been on in a while.
We haven't been on in a while. So we've decided to ditch the Christmas movies we did not like. Yeah. So we're going to have to go do a purge because like Sugar Plum Twist and I can't think of any of the others. Oh,
thanks for reminding me of that one.
I had a whole list of them. They were up here. I don't know what happened to my list.
It's up there. It's behind you.
Oh.
Over. You got it. There you go.
And a pen. All right. So we'll just briefly mention the ones we aren't going to talk about.
All right. Go ahead.
I think. 'Tis the Season to Be Merry. I don't remember what that was.
I don't remember.
Christmas House 2. Sugar Plum Twist.
Yeah, Christmas House 2 was not...
not as good as Christmas House.
Christmas House.
8 Gifts of Hanukkah. Remember, I couldn't even remember what it was I had to, like, I ran into it and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. It was the guy who was his unrequited love and gave her these some very extravagant gifts for Hanukkah. Right. Christmas in Tahoe, which was not as good as Christmas in Vale. Christmas at Castle... Hearst, which was terrible, as in one of these. Oh, we're event planners. We're on vacation, event planners, right. And they were pretending to be their boss again. Like
I know another person pretending to be their boss.
It was terrible. Even though I had Lacey Chabert, it was
a terrible trope.
Yep, and then Making Spirits Bright. That was the one with Taylor Cole and the other guy and the.
Let me put it this way. It's completely forgettable since I forgot it completely.
But I was just going to say that it has a trope that I was getting really sick of by the end of this.
The fathers
in this were feuding. So it was almost like Romeo and Juliet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And they were feuding because they started this house decorating business. And one was doing it for the money and the other one was doing it because of the art or whatever. Yeah. And I was just like, not this again. But they got, it was the guy from Christmas with the Darlings and Moonlight in Vermont.
Yeah.
So we like him. We like him. But it just was such a terribly written. And
go on.
That was it.
That was it.
Okay. We did the rest of them, I think. A Holiday in Harlem, which we still haven't even finished watching. So I was wrong. That was it. Those were...
All right.
Oh,
well,
nope.
What?
Oh, no, we did.
Okay.
Sorry. It's been a while since I looked at the list, everyone. I apologize. But yeah, I think that those were the ones that we didn't talk about. And we think you could forget.
Yep.
And we will be I did put on a Holiday in Harlem when I was decorating our tree.
Okay.
And I kept on walking away.
Yeah.
And it kept on playing and I kept on going back. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going back for. So I still haven't watched it, but I'll probably finish watching it at some point. So
okay. You don't have to watch it.
I don't. No. I don't, but it wasn't, so far. Well, it was another one of these, you live in the city, but she goes, instead of seeing her grandmother for Christmas, she goes to, like, Jamaica. Right? And then when her grandmother gets hurt, she goes to visit her, and then she has to give up her trip to Jamaica or whatever.
Another.
And then she has to help with.
Grandmother, mother, aunt gets hurt, and I have to go back to my one horse town and help her out.
I mean, it's Queens or Brooklyn or whatever.
I get it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But it's the thing. Oh, the you trope. Can't, you know.
But we're not talking about those movies.
No, not anymore. I needed closure. I just need to tell everyone if they were expecting us to talk about those movies in depth and about how terrible they were. They're going to miss out on that. Yeah. And I'm really sorry. But you can email us.
I am not, because I do not want to speak in depth.
You can email us at marksthespotmail@gmail.com and start a whole conversation with me, and I will engage.
Okay. But we're here to talk about the cream of the Hallmark crop, a movie no one asked for.
Butlers in Love.
Butlers in Love.
Well, and also the term that no one asked for, the correct term.
Butling.
Butling. They must have said that 500 times in this movie. Butling. And then in the beginning, of course, they'd, you know, the correct term is actually butling because the word comes from this and blah, 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 blah. And then the thing besides that, that was most ridiculous is I know one of your things that you're going to bring up that you didn't like was her full throated support of butlers and how they change the world by serving people. Because if you take care of everything for these people, they can just continue to do the great things that they're supposed to be doing, which, yes, that is the basis of service. And if you believe that someone is doing great things, and you can take that off their plate to leave them free to create or to do good works for other people, that would be great. But mostly people who have butlers are just rich people.
Yeah.
And aristocracy that I guess they do good things for other people, but they aren't ruling countries generally. And
Can I do the synopsis, even though you went halfway through the movie?
Oh, sorry, everyone. It's been a while. I forgot how we do this.
In a prestigious butler academy, passionate Emma and rebellious Henry train to become royal butlers. Royal?
Well, they could be the butlers to royalty.
But I don't think they're training to become royal
butlers. They're just training to become butlers.
Butlers.
Yeah.
Where the competition is fierce and sparks fly.
Ooh.
Starring Stacey Farber and Corey Cott.
And they were both.
And Maxwell Caulfield. The cool rider.
People may remember him from I'm Not Ready for Christmas.
I think they would remember more from Grease 2.
I don't. And I've seen that a couple times.
You don't remember in Grease 2?
No.
Empire Records, where he played.
I remember that only because you told me, and then you showed me a picture.
Rex Manning.
It's Rex Manning Day.
Yep.
So, yeah. What do you want to say about this movie?
It was terrible. It starts off with a little girl dreaming of becoming a butler.
That's right.
The red flag number one. There's no little girl dreaming of becoming a butler. You don't dream to become a butler.
I don't know. I hope we don't get a bunch of email from people saying, I dreamed of becoming a ladies' maid. I dreamed of becoming a head housekeeper. I dreamed of butling.
So all her life, she has wanted to be a butler and studied what butlers do and all of this. And she gets accepted into this school and she doesn't know the basics of
some of the basics. She has no clue.
Being a butler.
Yeah. Yeah. Even after all that time, she doesn't know that the knife goes on the right hand side of the plate.
Right. Which fork is a
dessert fork or whatever. A fish fork.
Fish fork.
Yeah. I mean, it's understandable if us normal people are cleaning out their grandmother's silver and you come across this flat fork and you go, I don't know what that is. And somebody says, oh, that's a fish fork. And you say, oh, okay. And yeah, to this day, still don't know where it goes in the grand scheme of things. I only know outside in. But she doesn't even know that.
Yeah. And she was obsessed with butling.
Yeah. She must have been. But so... The only thing I'll say in the defense of butling is that it is a wide-ranging thing. So the tasks that they had to be trained in were, you know, this kind of setting up the correct table setting in a short amount of time. You know, they right. don't have time for that. Then they have to, like, usually they manage all the household staff, which they didn't talk about management that much, right?
Right.
But also the recommending of what wine to pair with what.
Right.
And if you're going to have, like, multiple wines open at once, no, and one of them, you know, a couple of them are breathing, like, making sure you get the right wine. Like,
right.
So there were some things that I think would be. And had to
whip up a quick meal.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is a lot to it. So I'm not dissing the profession.
No, not saying it's easy to be a butler.
I wasn't saying that you were. I'm just saying
no one. I don't think many people aspire to it.
Yeah. But I mean, she was inspired by it like a TV show. And so there may be people who are, like, see that and say, oh, I really love that protocol. And I love that feeling of control or power or whatever. But the more almost more unbelievable was the guy. What was his name?
Henry.
Henry. Henry came from a long line of butlers.
That's right.
Both sides.
Yeah, both sides full, of his
full
family.
Butling. A full butler. And he was, like, being forced.
Full butler.
He's being forced into being a butler when he really wants to be a chef.
Right.
So it's like, here they have to whip up a quick meal. You would think the dad would get on board with this and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, being a chef is almost like being a butler. You still serve. You're in a household. Like, you get to create these things. You have to do it under pressure, et cetera. Mm-hmm. No, nope. And so at the end, I'm just going to skip right to the end because.
Well, I'm just saying Henry comes in and he knows everything about being a butler.
Because he grew up with butlers.
But he doesn't care. And he comes in late and he
knocks her over.
And Emma thinks, oh, he's a terrible person for not wanting to be a butler.
Right.
Why are you here,
right,
Henry?
But they contribute to each other, which was Maxwell Caulfield's grand plan.
Yes.
Was that Henry would help Emma with her butling, her basic butling skills, and Emma would inspire Henry to become a butler.
Right.
To not just go through, you know, he does it and he does it well, but there's no inspiration or passion there.
Mm-hmm.
So she does help him to just stand up for himself and follow his passion. Yeah. And he finishes butling mm-hmm. school. So right. he can always fall back on that.
Yeah.
And she gets placed in a private home in, like, Ireland or something. I forget exactly where. It seemed like British, whatever. The UK. Somewhere. UK-ish.
Ish.
Ish. But it was disappointing. Two things were disappointing for me.
Yes.
After all of this, number one, that she doesn't realize after her lifelong want of being a butler and seeing everything they do. And if you watch Downton Abbey, you know, it's a dawn to dusk and then some kind of a job.
Right.
That she wants work-life balance.
Yeah.
Which is like, hey, that's not so bad. But she goes to her first assignment and she's all mopey, you know, because Henry's not there. But she's excited. She can't wait to be a butler. And the woman tells her she had like a half an afternoon off the entire first year she was there. So she's thinking, how am I going to have a family? How am I going to, how did Henry's parents, who were both butlers, manage to have a family?
I don't know.
And so she says, oh, man, you know, being with Henry has kind of opened her eyes to some of the things outside of butling that she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of regretting her choice. So she does it and she does it well, but right. she decides to leave. Meanwhile, Henry goes home. He cooks his parents a phenomenal dinner. The father says,
now, before you get to that, you said there were two things.
I'm getting to the thing that bothered me.
Oh, okay.
So the father tells him, this is a great recipe.
Apologize.
You must give it to Chef. And he goes, no, this is my recipe and I'm going to cook it and I'm going to go to culinary school and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I would like your blessing. And the mom gets up and she hugs him and says, oh, this is so great. Blah, 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 blah. And the father just sits there and Henry walks out. Yep. So I found it really upsetting. Like the thing I didn't like, yeah. I know that, you know, in a real family, this probably would happen. And in a Hallmark movie, I kind of expect for there to at least be some glimmer of the father saying, I understand, you know, I'm disappointed and I understand you have to do what you have to do or whatever. Right. But no, instead he doesn't give his blessing. It's like stony silence and Henry leaves. And the next thing you see, he's, you know, she's leaving her station. Right. And he's walking up the driveway and she stops the cab and says, hey, what's up? And he's like, well, I quit, like, because he had a job too.
Yeah.
He walked away from it. And she said, what are you doing here? He goes, well, I quit and I was going to find a place near you. And she goes, but I just quit. So they get in the cab and they don't have any jobs. And she remembers she's got a contact at a hotel. And so the third thing that I found completely unbelievable about this movie was the last scene where they're getting ready for a large party at the hotel, like a very large sit down dinner for like 25 so you see or other 50 butlers people. Butlers
they're setting up or
wait staff
setting up place settings.
And they're all goo-goo eyes and he's cooking in the kitchen, but they're all goo-goo eyes at each other and kissing multiple times.
Yeah.
While everyone else around them is working. And it's like, hey, isn't it great we got this hotel gig so we can just like make out while other people are working? Yeah. That's awesome. Work-life balance. Woo-hoo.
Well, I had two problems with this movie as well. Mm-hmm. One, it was made. And two, that I watched it. This one was torturous.
It was hard.
I felt they were scraping the bottom of the barrel with this premise.
And what was even worse was you fell asleep and I had to watch the end twice.
Yeah.
The end and was you the worst
forced
part.
Me, you forced me to watch the end.
Because it was so bad. I shouldn't have to watch that myself.
So I kept saying, no, it's all right. You told me what happens. I'm good. But no.
But even then, I had forgotten about the smoochy, smoochy, kissy, kissy face at the end, like while other people were working. So
delete with extreme prejudice. Yeah. And I give this a zero.
I give it a half. Can I give it a half star?
You can give it a half.
Well, in good conscience, you got to let me speak.
Okay.
I feel that Maxwell Caulfield was in it. So half a star.
Star for Maxwell Caulfield. Okay.
I'm just kidding. I didn't think he wasn't that great either. There was the plot was terrible. The writing wasn't good. Was it the same tired thing where they had both of them going and helping each other? I don't know. It just wasn't good. Wasn't good. No. Half a star because, you know, these people had to actually suffer through it. So. Can you imagine Maxwell Caulfield says, can you believe this script I just got? I was in Grease too.
I was in Grease too. What is he like? Dr. Lazarus in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
I played Richard III. There were five curtain calls.
Yes.
Now look at me.
I was Rex Manning. There was a whole day set aside for me.
I think it was on Falcon Crest or something like that.
Oh, yeah, something.
Yeah. He was popular for a very short period of time.
Well, he's an attractive man. So I could see how this happened. I'm just saying, you know, he that script, he's just kind of like, I don't think he has It's not like he has a contract with Hallmark. He just wants to work, right? He's an actor. He wants to act, right?
Yeah.
And so every actor wants to work, and so this is great.
Carrie Elwes did a Hallmark movie.
No, he did Christmas at the Castle.
That wasn't a Hallmark movie?
No.
It was a Hallmark-like
movie. It was better. I mean, I watch that all the time. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It was a Netflix original, I think.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway.
So.
I'm going to give it a half a star because people had to put their blood, sweat, and most likely a lot of tears into this thing.
I'm still sticking with my zero only because we can't do negative numbers.
Because we just don't do that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we're going to move on to three movies that were better than this.
The Lovuary trilogy of Showcase trilogy, The Wedding Veil.
That's right.
Trilogy of movies, include The Wedding Veil.
Yes.
The Wedding Veil, Legacy. The Next Generation.
Legacy. Legacy.
The third one was Legacy. Oh. Or the second one was Legacy?
Legacy, because where it came from.
It's like...
And The Wedding Veil Revisited? What's the third one? Unplugged?
Unplugged. The Wedding Veil Unveiled.
Oh, that's right.
Because in the first one, you learn about the wedding veil.
Right.
In the second one, you learn the history. So it's unveiled, the history of the wedding veil. And then in the third one.
Oh, the legacy, because learn what happened to it after it was made. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Are you going to read the things and tell us who's in it and remind us of all of their names if that's possible?
It's probably not possible. The first installment of a new trilogy follows three longtime college friends who discover a mysterious antique veil fabled to unite its bearer with her true love. After discovering a long-lost painting, museum curator Avery and new board member Peter investigate the artwork's origins as they plan a gala to unveil it. Starring Lacey Chabert, Kevin McGarry, Autumn Reeser, and Allison Sweeney.
Yay. Are you going to do all three of them so that we could just talk about them?
Okay. So you want me to do all three?
Do you think that would make sense?
We
didn't talk about this ahead of time. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. Okay. The Wedding Veil Unveiled. Emma travels to Italy to teach and research a wedding veil said to bring its owner love. While there, she meets Paolo, the son of the local lace-making family, starring Autumn Reeser. Paolo, that's his real name.
Oh.
Paolo Bernardino.
Uh-huh.
Or Bernardini. Lacey Chabert and Allison Sweeney.
Okay. And then tell us about Allison Sweeney and Victor...
Webster.
It's Webster. I always want to say Garber now, and it's not that at all.
Tracy is the last of her three friends to take possession of an antique wedding veil. Will it prove to be magical for her despite her cynicism about its legend? Starring Allison Sweeney, Victor Webster, Lacey Chabert, and Autumn Reeser.
Oh, so they don't say Tracy's boyfriend's name. Ooh. So it's Avery and Peter and something in Paolo. And Tracy.
Something Impalo? Emma.
Emma.
Impalo. And Tracy and Nick.
Nick. Wasn't he Nick in the summer one?
Was he Nick in a summer romance?
A summer romance?
Is it a summer romance?
I don't know. It's not a summer to remember, but yeah, it's a summer romance. Probably because she was a romance writer.
Okay.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, it's Peter, Paul, and Nick.
Right.
And Avery, Emma,
not
and
Tracy. Paul, Paolo.
Paolo. Oh, sorry, but I was Peter, Paul, and Mary. I was looking for a Mary in there somewhere. But instead, we got Nick.
So it opens up with the three of them walking around antiquing in San Francisco, which no one does.
We've never seen it, so we don't believe it. I mean, there were those antique stores at our old hometown, and they were terrible.
Yeah.
There was no wedding veil with a mystery there. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that. So, yeah. So they find this wedding veil, and the woman who has played a bit part in Hallmark movies before. I forget who she is, but we've seen her in something.
I don't remember.
Oh, so anyway, she tells them, yeah, there's a legend with this veil. Whoever is in possession meets her true love, finds her true love. And this veil is so expensive that they have to split it three ways. And then it's like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. They're going to share it. So
So they said, I'll hold it until I get my true love, and then you hold it. But they're only kidding. No one really believes the legend.
Right. But Avery took it for some reason.
To get it fixed.
No.
Doesn't it have a snag and she has to get it fixed?
That's Tracy, and that's the last one.
I'm mixing up my wedding veils.
That's why I said, let's just give the synopsis ahead of time so that when we inevitably mess it up, people will know where we're headed.
She finds the picture or...
Yeah, so she... Well, anyway, for some reason, she was picture. The first one to take it because Tracy's like... I guess it was because she had a boyfriend, right? She had a boyfriend... Emma didn't have a boyfriend. She's married to her job. Mm-hmm. And Tracy has been going out with the same sad sack for 2 years.
Right.
And they're not talking about getting married.
And
so she
hasn't popped the question yet.
Yeah. But she wants nothing to do with this. She doesn't believe in the legend, et cetera. Right. So Avery takes it to Boston with her. And
she's got a job at a museum.
Yeah. And while they were getting stuff ready in the yard for like a sculpture garden, she ended up going down into the basement and came across this actually kind of famous painting. Like, right. it's not your grandmother's paint. Well, or not.
Yeah.
not the typical person's grandmother's painting, or even mine. So it's actually, they know who it was, some Italian guy, the late 19th century, blah, blah, blah. And so she's trying to figure it out. She decides that she's working with this new board member, Peter, who mm-hmm. is in charge of his family's foundation. And she had met him in San Francisco when she was she had the veil.
Yeah.
And they had a really good connection and they were like doing stuff in San Francisco. And then they got back to the hotel and he sees her with the veil and he goes, what the heck?
She's getting married.
She's getting married and never even said anything to me. Yeah. And so she doesn't know. He's like hot and cold. He sees this and then he's like blowing her off. And she's like, but I thought we had a connection. So maybe she didn't have a boyfriend, but she just was the most into the veil.
I don't think she had.
Yeah, because that otherwise he would have been.
And let us just say Kevin McGarry has a chef's kiss to his Boston accent.
It's so terrible. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So he is in charge of his family's foundation. And because he's made of money, he doesn't like to tell people who he is. Right. So he's being like a little circumspect. And then he sees this. And so he's being like not mean to her, but blows her off. And she's like, what the heck? I thought we had a great day. All right.
Yeah.
So she goes back to her job, and there is a guy there who's actively working against her, sabotaging her, which is ridiculous. I know there are people like that, but people like that shouldn't have jobs. So she gets introduced to this new board member who's going to be in charge of planning the gala with her, this big gala. It's a big fundraiser.
Yeah.
And so it's this guy. And so again, he's like being all standoffish. Oh, well, you know, and she goes and he sees she's helping her friend plan a wedding.
Right.
So he sees her with like an invitation or whatever. And he's like, uh-huh. And then she says, oh, I know. We'll do the wedding theme, a wedding theme for the
gala,
which is the stupidest thing I ever heard. But luckily, she finds this picture, you know, and it's a bride. And so
and she also has to find a dude who can clean it up and restore it before the gala.
Right. So there's a little bit of, you know, the mystery of what happened to this painting? Why was it in the basement? Is the guy, you know, a little bit of suspense. Is the guy going to be able to clean it in time? Then they're getting closer and closer. And finally, he says, you know, you're getting married. And she's like, no, I'm not. Like, you know, and after that, sparks are flying. And
no, I'm not, stupid head.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask me?
Because why would he ask? He, yeah. You know, she's not even wearing a wedding, like an engagement ring.
Yeah. So, all misunderstanding, gala is successful, the guy comes through and restores the painting in time.
And her friends are there, and she realizes, once the painting is restored, that the bride is wearing the veil.
In the painting.
Oh, yeah. So, no, the friends aren't there. The bride is wearing the veil in the painting, and she shows her friends when they show up for her wedding that she's having at her place of business. Because yeah. This guy who's made of money wants it, because I guess it was that whole, the wedding veil and the painting and everything brought them together. Yeah. That's why he's saying, let's get married where you work.
Yeah.
It's cheaper.
I don't know.
And it's not the social event of the season. So it was pretty obvious to me that she was wearing the veil from soup to nuts. Yeah. But Avery, it took her a while to figure it out.
Yeah. So one down.
One down.
One hitched.
One hitched. Two to go. So her friend, Emma, is a So I'm going to say something about this, is that they are all friends from college, and they're all involved in the art world in different ways.
Right.
So Avery's a curator. And of course, I think some promotion was riding on this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Emma is a professor of art history, or an assistant or associate professor of art history. And she has set up a program in Italy, and on top of her usual job. And then Tracy works in an auction house in New York City.
Yeah.
So for the second one, Emma is going to... Played by Autumn Reeser, is going to Padua? Was it Padua?
Yeah.
To run this course where she's teaching Italian students about American art.
Yep.
So she doesn't have a promotion riding on this, but her contact at the university is like, this has to go well.
Yeah.
You can't make me look bad. I'm going out on a limb here. And she's kind of like a dean or assistant dean or associate dean or something. And so she, in her spare time, though, even though she's a workaholic, she's like, I really want to make the most of my trip. I'm going to go to,
it was Venice.
No, Verona.
Verona.
I'm going to go to.
Sorry, with a V. I was close.
I'm going to go to Verona and go to this lace museum and see if I can find out something about the veil. Because, of course, she brings the veil with her to Italy. And while she's there, she's holding up the whole queue to get tickets to the ferry. And this guy goes up to help her. And she tells him, no. Yeah. Okay, I know you're in Italy and you don't know anyone, but when there's a queue of 20 people and somebody asks if they can help you and they actually speak English, they probably aren't trying to fleece you. They're probably just trying to get their own ticket.
Yep.
So please say yes, people. So she's like, no, no, no. And then she drops her ticket and he picks it up for her, and then she goes to the lace museum. It's closed. So she goes next door to the lace shop and she shows them the veil.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we made this. My grandmother made this veil.
Yeah, they start freaking out. Oh, Mamma Mia.
And, oh, we haven't seen this in so long. My grandmother, or whatever, made this for her friend, the Contessa, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And the
pattern is unmistakable.
Unmistakable. Well, it has the A in the heart, right? Yeah. And so, of course, she runs into the guy again. And she's like, you're following me. He's like, you're following me. Blah, blah, blah. Turns out, guess what? Big surprise. He is working in the family business of that very same
lace business
shop, of that lace shop. And that has a very similar thing too, in a way that he wants to go to the next level. He wants to open up a lace shop in the States.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone here is lace crazy.
Yeah. Well, he said sales are good.
Sales are good
in the States. Why not sell direct?
That's right. So his family, his uncle and his father, are very conservative and they don't want to go out on that limb. And all the women just work in the shop.
Yeah.
And do the books, maybe. And he and she basically, over the course of the movie, helps to encourage him to put his business plan into a PowerPoint presentation, because that fixes everything.
Of course.
And give the presentation to his family so that, you know, they'll listen to him. Meanwhile, she steps her foot in it with a student, tells him to keep auditing her class while he's trying to scare up the money for the credit that it's going to cost to take her class so that he can graduate, because he's got a sweet position in a glass blowing studio or, you know, school, institute, whatever.
Yeah.
In the fall. But he needs this course to graduate, and he's not making enough with his uncle, and the uncle's business isn't doing great, and there's all kinds of stuff. So she says, you keep auditing the class. I'll figure something out. She goes to her friend, the vice chancellor or whatever, and that person is like, we don't do audits, and, you know, you really overstepped here. And she was like, so of course she calls up Avery and says, help. And Avery figures, you know, they get him to like apply for this, not a phony baloney, but a grant that is by the art museum that she works for. And he is going to be the first recipient or something like that. Right. So that all works out. But meanwhile, they're researching the lace of the veil.
Right.
And she goes to this, I guess it's Padua, that has all the letters of the artist. And there's a whole mystery. They don't know why she notices in the artist sketches, in the studies, why she's smiling. And then in the final portrait, she's sad.
Right. Plus, she got the wedding veil in the picture, in the portrait, is not the one she wore at the wedding.
Right. Which, there was something about that that didn't make sense. Because, like, she didn't wear it at the wedding. And then they said, after the wedding, she gave it to her daughter. But it wasn't the one she wore. But I don't know. Whatever. So they figure out, they find out that the two were in love. The Contessa fell in love with the portrait.
With the painter. Yeah.
And so she wasn't happy. And he died of a broken heart, the painter. So he didn't have a lot of, you know, documents to go through or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they talked to a descendant or someone who said, oh, her daughter. So it turns out that when the Contessa died, 25% of her legacy went to the grandma, Paolo's grandmother.
Right.
His noni. So wasn't his noni who made it, but her mom or grandmother had made that veil.
Right.
So she says, you know, I helped her, you know, in the last like 5 years of her life, I really helped her. And then she said that 50% of her fortune went to the chambermaid and 25% went to the church.
Right.
So what happened to the chambermaid? Well, the chambermaid moved to the New World. And that's how they figure, that's how the veil got to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really know too much besides that.
But meanwhile, Autumn Reeser and Paolo,
they're falling in love.
They're falling in love.
And he takes her to Venice because she's got to see Venice at night in San Marco Square or whatever.
Right.
They're spending a lot of time together. But she is having trouble because she had been in love and the guy ditched her.
Right. Right at the wedding. On wasn't it like on or around their engagement or wedding?
I forget.
Well, the guy took off.
The guy said, that's it. See ya.
So you don't want to be ya.
Yeah. That's how Avery ended up with the veil. Because like Emma was still heartbroken from her last relationship. Right. And Tracy's like, I don't believe in it anyway. Yeah. And I've got my nice practical relationship with this guy. So
she's going back to Chicago?
Yeah, she's going back to Chicago. He gives the presentation to his family and says, I'm going to open up a store in New York. And she's like, I'm not doing the long distance thing. That was it. He got a job in LA.
Right.
And she was like, they tried the long distance thing and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
So she says, you know, I don't really like the long distance thing. And he goes, look, New York is only 1,234 miles from Chicago. So like, that's way better than a whole ocean. So can't we at least try it?
Yeah.
And so she says, sure. And I'll be back here in the spring. And fast forward, whatever, they're getting married.
Well, he opens a store in Chicago instead.
Right. And they're getting married.
Right.
Yeah. They realized they couldn't live. Yeah. Year later,
they're getting married. Wedding veil,
two for two.
Yeah.
Because then they're at her wedding in Venice.
Right.
I mean, not in Venice, in Padua.
In Padua. Yeah.
And it turns out the rich guy couldn't make it for some reason.
Yeah.
And
Kevin McGarry.
He's busy with his family's foundation.
Yeah.
And so they're all, oh, I can't believe it. And no, oh, you know, the veil and blah, 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 blah. And then she said, oh, it got a snag. And so they convinced Tracy to take it to New York and have it fixed.
Right.
So then in the beginning, end of two.
Why couldn't the family fix the snag in the veil?
I don't know.
That's their biz.
Weren't they in Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's their biz.
Yeah.
So, but Avery researches an Italian lace, an Italian tailor who fixes lace.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's three blocks from where she works. So she goes one morning before work. She's late for her 9 o'clock appointment. And Victor Webster, also known as Nick, is already there. He got there early and jumped in on her appointment. And so they were going to get rid of her. And she's like, no, you won't get rid of me. I'm here. Here's my veil and stuff. And Victor, you know, Nick is like, yeah, whatever. So they pick up a banter. She like lies and says she loves the Jets or the Giants, but really she's a Dolphins fan and, you know, stuff like that. And so she gets the veil, you know, it's there waiting to be fixed, but she has this witty repartee with Nick. And then later on, she also has a party that she has to throw like the shindig around the auction, this big auction that they have. And so she mentions these sapphire earrings that she really loves. She's seen them somewhere before, but she can't remember. And then she says, oh no, our caterer fell through or whatever. We have to get a caterer. And so her coworker, her BFF, who is the guy from, he's been in a gazillion Hallmark movies.
Drawing a blank.
He's the one who was the agent in Holiday Date.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like the lawyer in that one.
It's a Window Wonderland.
He's the manager.
Yeah.
So he says, oh, I've got this great place. And it's called Mama Noni's.
Mama Noni's,
yeah. And they go there and they try the food. And everything's great until she realizes that it's Nick's restaurant, and she's trying to get out of using them as a caterer, even though they're available for like 3 weeks away.
Yeah. Like, what did Nick do to deserve that?
Nothing. She just has a feeling about him or whatever. I'm tired. I hate these irrational. I guess she just took an instant dislike to him, except she fell in love with him at first sight, basically, right?
Yeah.
So I just don't understand. So his whole thing is that he has this restaurant with his family, but they want to strike out and do Italian fusion cuisine.
Italian Asian fusion.
So they are putting a whole new restaurant together that's not Mamanoni's. I forget what it's called. Tesoro. Il Tesoro. Yeah. The treasure, right?
I think Mamanoni's might be that upcoming one we haven't seen yet.
Welcome to Mama's?
Yeah, welcome to
Mama's. Maybe. I don't know. So if they have a fourth of this and we did this too soon, I'll be upset. Yeah. No. So anyway, his grandmother, though, doesn't understand why he needs to open up this restaurant. She doesn't understand the Asian fusion concept with Italian. His sister is going to be taking over the restaurant. So like, it's a big deal for her. And he's there. He's still trying to get the whole, you know, restaurant up and running, and it's opening in like a month. And they're still like putting in the bar and all. So he bonds with, how do they end up? So they bond over this. She has to go there and try the food, and it's really good. You know, despite herself, she likes it. And then she's redecorating her apartment because she has now decided that she's ditching that boyfriend of two years.
That lame-o.
Oh, wait, he's the one who got a job in L.A.
Yeah.
He's an actor. Oh, my God. I can't remember.
You're mixing up your...
The bad boyfriends. They're just all, you know. So he gets the job. Oh, he's not an actor, though. He is a trumpet player.
Yeah.
And he gets a job with the L.A. Philharmonic.
Right. And he says, oh, you're going to move out with me? And she's going, but I love New York. Why would I go there?
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker. So... she says, see, there's a problem when he's leaving for his interview and she doesn't even kiss him.
Yeah.
And then he that's the ice water call, you know, hey, congratulations. Oh, that's great. We'll celebrate when you get back. And the, hey, you're moving out with me. Well, yeah. So. You know, I love everything. It took me a long time to find this apartment so close to where I work and blah, 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 blah. So she kicks him to the curb. And starts redecorating her apartment. So somehow she gets Nick involved in helping her with a rug that she purchased. So have some schlep it up to her apartment and then put it down and realize, just not put it over there with the other six that I have that I don't really like. So he gets pulled in to her shenanigans with that. But then there's a reason why they end up going out to Long Island one day to, you know, go clamming or I don't know. So he cooks dinner for her, and then she says, I'll cook dinner for you. And, you know, so right. They're getting cozy, but she's also giving him a tour of the auction house.
Yeah.
And showing him, like, oh, this is the stuff that we have. And she has found, as part of this auction, the original, one of the drafts written in Emma Lazarus's handwriting of the poem that's on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. And so Victor Webster's character, Nick, is super excited about this. He thinks this is a piece of American history that shouldn't be lost, and it should be someplace where people see it and stuff. And so he encourages her, and she's also like on fire about this. She doesn't want some collector to take it and stick it in his vault. So she tries really hard to find someone who will just buy it for the bid price for their museum.
Right.
But the museums are all going through a tough time. She has no takers. Yeah. So then Victor Webster, Nick says, well, you know, gives her in their conversation, she gets the idea. Oh, wait, what about a private investor? Maybe somebody will, you know, pay for half of it and donate it, use it as a donation to the museum. So she tracks down this, you know, tech guru guy, and they find out where he has breakfast every Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they ended up going out to Long Island,
right,
to, or Brooklyn, to like stalk him. And so he encourages her to go in. She goes in and she gets a seat at the table. And the guy, so I'm considering it. So here's another suspenseful down to the minute. Is she going to be able to withdraw this document from the
auction?
And it's like right before the end and sure, you know, right when they're about to, you know, okay, lot number, you know, 2680. And she's like, oh, you can, you know, oh, that's been withdrawn.
Yeah.
And so in that collector sitting there, he's so upset, so mad. But Victor Garber, Nick is like Garber. Nick is so happy for her, and this is so great. And she cooks, you know, she cooked dinner.
Where does the veil come in? The veil legacy.
Because she was getting it fixed. Oh, where it comes in is, it turns out that the grandmother, the great-grandmother, Mama Noni, was the chambermaid.
Oh, she's the one who came to America. Oh,
so we forgot to say something about the last one. That even though this veil, they bought it, they didn't have, I understand they didn't have the, you know, any, they didn't know anything about where its provenance, where it came from.
Yeah.
That they decided to give it to the grandmother of the lace shop, even though it would have gone to both the chambermaid's family and the grandmother of the lace shop.
Right.
And a quarter to the church. Right. So they, but those three said, oh, you can have it. And the grandmother is so happy. Oh, a piece of Antonia or whatever, you know, it's just, this is a means so much to me. And so even though Autumn Reeser wears the veil and then marries into the family, she said, oh, it's your family should have this.
Yeah.
Have this. But, oh, it has this snag, so we're going to take it to New York. I mean, that, like, didn't make any sense. Yeah. So they find out, they do some research on the family, and they're tracking, they find out that it's this Mama Noni or whatever is the chambermaid. The chambermaid was the love child. And they found that out in the previous one, the love child of the painter and the Contessa.
Right.
And so that's why she got half of her.
Yeah. Because
her stuff, because really it was daughter. The chambermaid's daughter or whatever. Yeah. And so that they find out that they said, oh, the chambermaid's daughter is the name of the, you know, this person. And he said, but that's my great-grandmother.
Right.
So now this wedding veil is now in their family. But they don't show those two get married, do they?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But yeah. So now, so that's where the wedding veil comes in, is that it turns out that they're still doing research behind the scenes, and it's in Nick's family.
Right.
That's that he is directly descended from this Contessa. So he's kind of like nobility there.
Yeah. So.
So that's it.
She finds love, wedding veil.
Despite the fact she didn't believe in the legend, it worked anyway.
Bat in 1,000, that wedding veil.
That's right. 3 for 3, baby.
3 for 3.
And, well, we don't know that she gets married to him, but we assume so.
All right. Well, what do you give it?
I give this 3 out of 5. Because I feel like...
Actually, each one.
No, I'm just giving the whole thing.
You're going to give the whole trilogy a 3.
Yeah. Because they put them together. There was mystery and suspense in each one. There was, you know, I give them kudos for trying to do something different. Plus, they finally sent Autumn Reeser to Italy. I think she really did go to Italy for this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they came up with the reason. Oh, no. They did show them get married because there was a reason why Paolo couldn't make it.
Yeah, that's right. He was on the important lace business.
No. Their flights were delayed or whatever. Yeah. And so he was on the next plane out.
Right.
So he was going to miss the actual ceremony. So
you give it a 3.
Yeah, I mean, would you give each of them a different number?
Are you going to delete or are you going to keep?
Probably going to delete. I might watch one more time before I delete, but three is a lot.
Yeah.
And there were things about each of them that were kind of annoying.
Right.
You know?
So I would give these a 2 at best. I thought the whole thing was contrived, and their friendship, they didn't seem like friends.
But they were talking to each other all the time.
I know, but I mean...
And like when she broke up and she was redesigning her apartment, they all came.
But it was so forced.
I know. It was contrived.
Yeah.
But I felt like they should get some credit for trying something different. Yeah. But they're all contrived.
Yep. So I wasn't a big fan.
Well, it's also like this niche, like it's not just romance, it's the wedding
stuff.
Well, it's also the wedding. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
When it becomes about the wedding, I don't like it as much. I want it to be about the romance.
Right.
And this was about like a little bit of the mystery, right? I mean, heck, 2 out of 3 of these women have their own mystery shows. Murder, She Baked, right? And Crossword Puzzle Mysteries.
And so does that cop. I mean, Victor Webster, he's a cop in one of them.
That's right.
Isn't he in the...
He's in the one... Murder 101?
Murder 101?
Wagner? Oh, that's Christopher Palaha.
That's Christopher Palaha. The poor man's Victor Webster.
I forget. He is in one of them, though.
Yeah, so...
Not the Nantucket Mysteries.
I'm
running out of mysteries.
Murder, She Baked. Isn't it?
Is he in there with Allison Sweeney?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're they're united in this?
Yes, exactly.
Reunited? Can I just say
I'm highly embarrassed that I would come out with that?
Well, we don't know if it's true.
Yes, I know, but how I said it so forcefully. Oh, Murder, She Baked, of course.
Well, we know it's not Aurora Tea Garden. It's not Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. It's not the Flower Shop Mysteries.
I just have to say I've never seen a Murder, She Baked, but
I've just
seen the commercials for
it. Right. So, I haven't seen it either.
So delete. For me, as well.
We'll delete these quickly.
Yep.
But after we delete these other Christmas ones, we aren't ever going to talk about.
Well, that's our 4. That's four whole months.
In less than an hour. I'm impressed.
Barely less than an hour.
Well, you know, it's all good.
So damshow.co is where you find this podcast and our other fine podcasts at Dam Junior Podcasting.
That's right. There's a new one. Destroy All Television.
Destroy All Television, yes.
They're looking at 80s TV.
Fourth.
Are you going to do Starsky and Hutch? And so then I could say 70s.
70s, 80s, 50s. It could be.
It could be anything.
Leave it to Bieber. Classic and not so classic television.
Okay. Well, their first one was Knight Rider with the evil Michael Garth.
But you can also, if you want more Hallmark's spot, you can listen to all our back episodes there as well.
That's right. And they are riveting, I will tell you that. We've given about 20 out of 100 movies 4 stars.
So
or above.
There's also the Amazon link. You can go there. If you click on the Amazon link, it takes you to Amazon and you shop as you normally would. But we get a little piece of the action. It doesn't cost you 1 cent more. All it does is one extra click on that link.
That's right. Or you could buy us a cup of coffee.
That's right. It's if you want to support
the show.
You want to support the show because there's expenses with the show.
Yeah.
Buy us a coffee. Offset some of those expenses.
That would be great.
Just click the link. Buy us a cup of Joe.
Yeah. So thanks for being on this journey with us. Enjoy the rest of your Loveuary. Yeah. And we'll be back hopefully sooner than this with a couple more reviews.
That's right.
Yeah. Until then, be cool.
And mark the spot. Oh, that's terrible.
That's terrible. happy March, because March is coming.
Yes, mortuary.
Yeah, mortuary. <He's coming. laughs> That sounds like mortuary. Yes. That's probably not great. All right. Well, if you have anything to tell us, send us an email at marksthespotmail@gmail.com. And other than that, you'll hear us in a couple weeks.
All right.